afternoon. Welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
I'm sounding less like Marge Simpson.
Yeah, you sound a little better.
Apparently large amounts of honey, and I probably have diabetes now. I like drank half a honey thing.
That fireball I saw you dumping in there didn't...
No, but you know, that would have been an excellent idea.
Yeah,
what the hell was I thinking?
Burn it out.
Darn it! Missed my moment there. Anyway, our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen, and so we kind of started, but I was talking to Alex in the break about Brother Wang and how this all really fits in with everybody who is dealing with all of the cartel influence that's, you know, burying us in rural areas, growing marijuana ever since they legalized it. The black market exploded. So, Dr. Chen, we weren't planning on talking about that, but it came up in our conversation yesterday and was such an epiphany. Such an epiphany. Can you tell me again how he became the head of the Sinaloa cartel?
Well, he really came from, you know, no background. He was just immigrated to Mexico, like so many Chinese that trying to run away from China, right? So just ordinary. And then he married a Mexican lady, and then slowly he got into the drug business, and then he rise up in that business, and then his main thing is that he has this production line, Chinese connections, right? So when he rise up, and he apparently, you know, then start to use his connections to get the Chinese components, chemical components. So his rule, why he suddenly rise up in the cartel world, is that he streamlined those processes, right? How to smuggle, how to... Also, he streamlined the accounting. He made the crime... He is an intelligent person, right? So he is an intelligent person among the cartel world. Not all, you know, many of the cartel people are not as intelligent. So he was able to simplify those process. So that's how he become the cartel king, the drug king. Right? But that is, as he rises, he got more attention and more support from the Chinese, connection. And finally, he was caught by the Mexican government. And then he was able, with other cartels' help, escape. And then ran to Cuba, who has no extradition, agreement with the United States. And his next step is further away from the United States to Russia, another country that has no extradition agreement with the United States. And given his connection, his passport, everything about him has been, you know, perfectly arranged. So the Russian custom is not going to supposed to discover him. Well, but this time, miraculously, he was caught. He was immediately, the Russian custom knew exactly who he is. Caught him. Okay? And then somehow, remember, Russia does not have extradition agreement with the United States, but somehow he was delivered to the United States. And then President Trump lowered the fentanyl tariff from 20% to 10%. All this timing-wise, you know, fits together very well.
Yeah, because this was October 25th or something. I mean, this has just been a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. This just happened in a tight space of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no idea, because this is an FBI operation, all this international operation. So, but, you know, the news report get out, right? So the most likely explanation is that, well, the Chinese government, in exchange for lowering of the tariff, the fentanyl tariff, gave him away to the United States.
Wow.
I think that's what happens.
So there is the trade, we'll trade you a bad guy for a better price, barbarism. we got a new category. Would you believe we have this really bad guy that you really want? We could make a deal on that. Wow.
Yeah, negotiable barbarism.
There you go. I like that better. It's much easier to say. Wow. I couldn't. When you told me that, I thought, are you kidding? But it made so much sense. The idea, though, that somebody with ties to the CCP is running the Sinaloa cartel, I have to say, to the, you know, average person, that would be, you know, if you were playing one of those true or false games, you'd push all your chips in on false for that.
Well, but count on it.
Yeah.
A number two, Brother Wang, is already in place.
Oh, I'm sure.
Count on it.
I'm sure. But, you know, the interesting part is, like with all crime, right? I guess you ride the wave until it crashes on the beach. So he's already seen what happened. So I guess the next guy's lined up to live the high life and then get crushed. But yeah, I was looking at the article. This was the AP one I pulled up, and said Mexican authorities captured him in Mexico City in 2024 at the request of the U.S. government, but a judge granted him house arrest. What a great idea. And last July, he escaped. What a shock. He escaped the home he was being held in under military guard. Must have been incredible security. But yeah, then they magically found him in Cuba. Huh.
Hmm.
Wow. So, so it doesn't even work out if you're their guy. Being their guy isn't even a good spot. Like, there is no good spot with the CCP.
Well, all depends on the CCP's needs. If he needs you to make trouble to the United States, you're the cartel king. When you need to be delivered to the United States, then
you're still the cartel king, but you're in jail. Oh, man. Yeah, that
regime.
That blew my mind. I sent that to so many people yesterday, and I do hope people go read about that, because
that,
like, tie that back to the whole idea here, right? So if in fact the president is not able to utilize tariffs as a tool,
The Congress can catch him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Congress will convene, and they'll all agree that we should make this deal with China, and it'll stay super secret, and no one will find out about it. And, and then 10 years later, when Brother Wang is in a senior care facility, they'll, you know, they'll kick his walker out from under him, and there we go, we got him. Stuff like this, like not being able to do things like this and be limber. I mean, that's the thing. You have to be limber in your international decision making, because this was never made public beforehand. That, I mean, obviously I just figured it out yesterday, and it happened October 25th. Did you hear anything about this before he was snapped up in
not,
Cuba?
Not until. As I said, this happened in a very tight space of time.
Yeah, right.
he's arrest in Mexican. I mean, that is that somewhere. That happened earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But he's
yeah, he was arrested in Atlanta in 2022, and then they picked him up in Mexico and put him under house arrest a year ago in 2024.
Yeah. But that, you know, the delivery to, you know, from Cuba to the United States, this just happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just oddly enough, synonymous with President Trump's visit to with the Chinese tariff deal. I mean, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. There's no better illustration of what you're have been saying than that. I mean, if somebody says, "Well, how often does all this different stuff?" Well, there here you go. Here's a real example. Just happened.
This is one of them that we know.
Yeah, who knows what other ones, right? That's true.
Right. Okay. So, back to what we said earlier, that the CCP has already invaded our country in so many forms. So here I want to bring up another form that very few people know. And those people, there are also many people who assist this. I remember I mentioned this in your radio. That is the CCP's utilization of Sister City program.
Oh yeah.
So there's a Sister City program. There's a Sister State program. So the CCP took advantage of that and realized that with that, the CCP can go around Washington. They don't have to deal with Washington. They can deal with the 50 states and hundreds of cities directly. And so Chinese promotes something called people-to-people diplomacy. Right. So our country then is divided into 50 entities, 50 states, each with their own different need, right? And then the state then will divide it into, you know, dozen or more cities. All, you know, dealing with their corresponding, you know, partner in China, without realizing that there's no city and state autonomy in China. You think you're dealing with the Chinese city. No, you're dealing with the entire Chinese government. You think you're dealing with your sister state, such a province in China? No, you're dealing with that central government. Right? So
that's always a classic mistake that just humans make. It's almost like when we ascribe human motives to animals. You know, I'm thinking of the guy that dressed up like a wolf and thought he could go be part of a wolf pack, and they attacked him, and he was shocked. It's like, I mean, the delusion goes like farther than just misunderstanding the concept of government. But yeah, people think, oh well, we're talking to them. They're making decisions for themselves. They're electing their representatives just like we are. No, they're not.
Yeah.
Not happening.
And so even at this local level, at the cultural level, the CCPs are influencing or in our lives in so many ways, controlling us. You know, so, I mean, talking about tentacles.
Yeah.
No creature in the world has more tentacles. I mean, you add all of, you know, the octopus tentacles, you add all of them together, they don't amount to the tentacles of the CCP around the world.
Yeah.
The CCP's tentacle reach out down to our local community, down to our university, down to our class, down to our company. So we all think, you know, we're dealing with some, you know, corresponding part entity in China. Nope. That's the CCP's tentacle.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, not only do we think we know who we're dealing with, but we think we know what they want. That's a whole different problem. Let's take a really quick break and come back and talk about that, because they don't even want what we want. We're not playing the same game. We will be right back. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Your size, just when I think I'm gonna get away, I hear those words that you always say.
Abracadabra, I wanna reach out and grab ya. Abracadabra. I am the eye in the sky, looking at you. I can read your mind. I am the maker of rules, dealing with fools. I can cheat you blind, and I don't need to see anymore to know that I can read your mind. I can read your mind.
They can probably do that too. So, Dr. Chen, what do they really want? I mean, what's the, obviously it's a very long game. So you were talking about like sister cities and sister towns, and they've got, you know, oh goody, we've got pen pals. I don't know if they do that anymore, but you know, we used to have pen pals in foreign countries. So they've got these people buddied up with towns and cities in China. To what end?
To divide and conquer our country. It divides us. It's a subnational conquering. Right? Just go around to Washington. We spoke 50 different voices. We speak 100 different voices. There's no coherent foreign policies anymore. And so the CCP, think about this. The CCP take advantage, make use of our federalism, which is, you know, what we're proud of. It take advantage of federalism, divides the U.S. against itself. It used to, you know, Lincoln used to say the house divided cannot, you know, stand, right? It's now divided into pieces. Right. So I want to get to, one point first, right? Just by incident, it's not even, this is by, it's a byproduct of the terror. That tariff, you just, by that tariff alone, President Trump put all those pieces together. Defend us again. Defend the country again at the national level. So, but that's even a byproduct. That is just an incident. Right? So, by incident, now the Chinese is forced to deal with U.S. as one entity. So that's what IEEPA does. So that is one point that why our Supreme Court should realize that and allow President Trump that power. But that's just a small part. a minor part, byproduct.
Sure. Before we leave the sister city thing and all that, I just I don't want to make assumptions, although I do like doing it. They're not always accurate, though. so I just want to test my amazing Kreskin powers here. Kind of dates me, doesn't it? Too bad. It's good to be old. So when someone in this country, I'm assuming this is all done by email, right? When they kind of go back and forth, they're not communicating with like some kid in China in school. I would imagine all that communication is absolutely controlled. Like they're not just, hey, so, you know, some kid here couldn't ask a kid there a straight up question and they're having an open dialogue that isn't curated. Is that?
Well, at the beginning, when it didn't matter, probably for the few minutes, that could happen. China has the world's largest and most powerful control of, you know, internet firewall. And so, if you do not, when your conversation is not sensitive, right? So there's a long list of sensitive words in the internet control. If you do not speak those, then you're fine. Once you start to use those sensitive words, and these are done all, you know, electronically. It's not manpower.
Sure. Right? You get flagged, like a little flag goes up, and they're like, well, let's look at Dr. Chen over there. He's coloring outside the lines. What are some bad words that we would not even realize?
It changes all the time. For example, Xi Jinping is a sensitive word.
Oh. You're not allowed to write about him or whatever?
So let me give you an example. There's a well-known actor in China that was murdered a few weeks ago. And then his last name rhymes with fish. Right? So his case is prohibited from discussing in China. Right? So people then start to use, words that rhymes with his last name.
Yeah, sure.
And one of them is a fish. So fish becomes a sensitive word.
Oh, my God. How exhausting.
Okay. And the funny part is that how people find out about it, there is online fish shell. There's an online fish selling website being shut down because it sells fish.
Because it says fish. What did the government kill the guy, or what do you think the deal is?
The people suspect the government killed the guy. That's why.
That's why I didn't want to again. Didn't want to assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why
the case is untouchable. And so to make it touchable, people then use fish. And then until that, you know, the fish selling place got shut down. And
oh,
it was not shut down by human, it was shut down electronically. That all this electronics, you know, automatically shuts down.
Yeah. I could see that. That's pretty that's actually super crazy. I can't even imagine. I'm so great at self editing. Imagine how long I'd last in China. Yeah, there you go, that long.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that list changes all the time. I just gave you one example. There's just millions of such examples.
Well, way back in March of 2019, we interviewed Mary Todd, who's the mother of Shane Todd, who was murdered in Singapore. And they wrote a book called Hard Drive. The son was over there working and realized that the Chinese counterpart that he was working for an American company regarding magnetics for cell phones, had a military application, and they were asking him to bring back different types of plans and a lot of the science on paper. We want you to bring back paper, not electronics. They didn't want any traceability back to U.S. government. So he realized he was being coerced, basically, into spying and committing treason. So he wanted no part of it, told his company he was leaving, packing up his apartment. Within that two-week period, he magically hung himself on the back of a doorknob. The guy was over 6 feet tall, so it made no sense. And the Chinese government, well, you know, killed himself. And they took all of the electronics and things from his apartment. Turned out all of his neighbors were actually there to spy on him, and he had documented all that. And the way they found it out, there was a small speaker, little Bluetooth speaker up on one of his shelves, and they gave that to the family, along with like his socks and, you know, toothbrush and stuff. They gave him this little Bluetooth speaker, and in a stunning twist of electronic oversight, they neglected to note that that was a remote hard drive. And they had all of the information about what he had on his computer and all the documentation. And they gave it to the FBI and State Department, where they never saw it again, which is super unfortunate. But, yeah, he was absolutely being surveilled while he was there, supposedly working for an American company. But they were subtly, over a period of time, moving him closer and closer and closer.
He's kind of grooming him.
Yeah, yeah, to be committing espionage. Yeah. It was like it was perfectly legitimate business stuff, but then he started looking at the application of what he was doing, and was like, wait a second. That's why they want it all on paper. So it happens when they come here, when people go there. It's a very tricky. It's a very tricky thing, but the fish thing is kind of fun. I'll know that if I ever wind up on a Chinese chat board. Wow. It's kind of exhausting. Got to be exhausting for you because you see it all. And you're looking at it from the perspective of you now live in a country that has tremendous freedoms. And you're watching us unwittingly just hand it all over.
That's why I said, you know, I'm speaking more, you know, I start to speak, you know, issues related to U.S. more now. I used to just speak issues related to China.
Yeah.
So we have probably 20 minutes. Let me get to the important conclusion, some of them. Because, you know, we always know when we talk, we'll run out of time. More to talk.
Guaranteed.
So... we just gave some, there are more examples, but we have to cut that short. So, the lesson is that this country has been invaded at so many levels, right? And this is done slowly, like what I said, the evolution of barbarism, right? It get worse and worse and worse, right? More and more severe on the U.S. part, right? It is like the proverbial frog in warm water, right? And so we are losing our ability to detect them, to react to them. Fortunately, really fortunately, we have President Trump came along and realized this and then start to leap out of that warm water. You know, this is one precedent that realized the water is too hot, too hot, deep. Okay? And then somebody came along, litigate against President Trump, saying that, nope, the power, the authority to leap doesn't sit with you. That is the further analogy of the proverbial frog case. Right? Finally, the frog realize the danger, start to leap. And somebody sued, take the suit to the Supreme Court, arguing, no, the leg, the part that the frog leaped, the leg, the power, the authority used that leg, sits with the Congress, not with the president. I hope that, it's a cartoon, right? I hope that, I don't know whether I get that message across.
No, it makes sense. And the bad part is, if in fact they do that, seemingly for the right reasons, the unintended consequence will be incredibly difficult to unwind.
So, yeah, I want to bring the last part. The people, the most difficult part for people to understand. And that is, if all this is caused by China, why President Trump slapped this tariffs on even many of our friendly countries, the European Union, Canada, Mexico, Vietnam, Malaysia, right, you name it, okay? So many countries. And people do not understand that. And this is exactly the brilliant part of President Trump. Because that draws the battle line, okay? Now, let's review what that battle line is. From the CCP part, the generous barbarian says, right, you get a share of our profit. But if you want the access to our market, the largest market, right, you need to align with me, right? So this is what has been working for the past 30 years, the generous barbarism, right? So the CCP got the whole world hooked to that generous barbarism. Right? And now the generous barbarism is evolved to coercive barbarism. No one knew how to react. No one knew how to fight it. Because at the beginning, it was not as bad as it is, right? At the beginning, it's very comfortable. The water is very comfortable. The frog gets used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, President Trump comes. And he brought another battle line, a battle line nobody sees, or nobody has seen, or know how to draw. And this battle line, the battle line is this, okay? President Trump is saying, the United States is still the largest buying market, the largest consumer market. Now, if you want to have access to that market, you have to align with the United States. So, here is two lines, to align with China or to align with the United States. Now remember, all those countries, you know, over 100 frogs has already been that warm water. If you don't poke them, they will not leap. And number one, the way to poke them is tariffs against them. But that's the small reason. There's a bigger reason. The ultimate reason is that the CCP, like you said, is very nimble. They're very flexible, right? In President Trump's first term, he negotiated a trade deal with China and slapped, you know, certain tariffs on China. So that's against one country. So, you know, there's no complaint. Because President Trump did not have to invoke IEEPA in that negotiation. The CCP then responded by channeling its export through our so-called friendly country, Canada, Mexico, Vietnam, you name it. Right? These are supposed to be our U.S. friendly country. But all this friendly country has also become dependent, remember, dependency. They have also, like the United States, a large portion of them become dependent on China. And so there's also silence there, if not more, because the U.S. is more powerful than them. So they comply with China's, you know, channeling of merchant. So the Chinese government, the CCP, is still able to infiltrate the United States through our friendly country. And to cure that, the Congress is not equipped to react to that. The Congress cannot negotiate over 100 trade deals with all this 100 countries, all our friendly countries. And so it only the administration have this power.
Sure. Could you imagine?
To install this general tariff.
And to take it,
our friendly country.
Not just to put it on, but take it off. I mean, to utilize it as a tool, up and down, you know. I mean, some of the
exactly.
tariff discussion is, you know, we're going to increase it. Oh, okay, you're going to fix that? Well, we'll decrease it. That happens all, in some cases, on the same day. That can't happen if every single aspect of that has to go through congressional approval. And I don't think that serves the American people, which would be the whole point of doing that. We're tardy.
You caught it right away.
I have to, look at that. I'm going to bask in my smartness, take a swift break here. Bill wants to give me an award. We have to take a commercial break. Isn't that right, Bill?
Absolutely.
Isn't that what's happening? We'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Dr. Chen, we're into the, 10 and a half minutes, maybe. So before we run out of time, I just wanted to say thank you for coming on, since that always gets chopped off at the end. So we'll pre-thank you. How about that? And then unceremoniously ditch you at the end. That seems to be...
No, thank you.
That seems to be the habit.
You.
But it's worth mentioning that it is Veterans Day on the 11th, and you know, for all those people who are out there suffering from Trump derangement syndrome and can't see anything that, you know, this guy does that could possibly be correct, and you hope he loses everything and the Supreme Court should rule against him because he's orange man bad. Honestly, if you care about the people who are currently and have previously fought for our freedoms here in this country and defend them now, you know, look at the bigger picture. You know, we hope we've brought you a bigger picture today. That regardless of who the president is, and maybe you don't like him, maybe you're not a Republican and all that stuff, you don't have to be in order to feel like it's probably a good idea to defend your own country. So for all those people that have put it on the line to defend us and make sure that we do have freedoms, let's not be the people that just for partisan politic reasons, we hand it off to the Chinese Communist Party. Or anybody else, for that matter. So anyway, there you go. There's my commercial.
All right. So let's
he's all right.
Now,
you're the master of the classic. Oh, Dr. Chen, you're so much fun. All right, sorry. Go on.
No. Sorry. Let's tie everything together to the case, right? So, we elaborated on why we get to here. And this is not a trade case. And I think this is the most important foreign relationship case since the Amistad case got to the Supreme Court. And the Amistad case established that coercive trade is not trade. It's not a trade issue. It's not lawful. Cannot be treated as a lawful trade. The CCP trade or generous barbarism scheme is much more complex than the Amistad. But the nature, its nature doesn't change. It's slavery. It's coercive system, right? You cannot treat it as a lawful trade. Therefore, it is a national security issue. It's a foreign relationship issue. It's a self-defense issue. It is a frog leaping out of the danger. If the High Court, if our Supreme Court cannot correctly realize that, it may make the mistake by destroying the Constitution in the very effort to defend that Constitution. Because, you know, the High Court may be thinking we are defending the division of power, the check and balances.
Right.
When the very essence, when the very existence of our republic is being attacked, being undermined. And so it may have all the good intentions, but if we do not see this nature, how we get here, and it's not easy to see it because it's done so slowly, so gradually, so deviously, it is very difficult to recognize that. Let alone that there are so many businesses, there's so many institutions, so many universities, scholars who are dependent on China will submit, they have been, I have seen some of them, they will submit amicus brief to the court arguing against President Trump without realizing they submit this amicus brief because they were dependent on China. And so it is very difficult to see. And so the Supreme Court, you know, justice may be thinking they're defending our Constitution. They may think they're using our Constitution to rule on this case, whereas the very Constitution is under threat, not by President Trump's misuse of his power, but by the CCP's slow erosion of our values. And we are still in that great danger, because the sound of some of the justices questioning, like the major question doctrine, like whether the tax is, the Congress power. Yeah, the tone and sound is threatening. And yet, at the very court, the Congress passed IUUPA exactly for this kind of moment, because the emergency economic refers to, in the act, refers to unusual and critical, a critical moment.
Sure.
If this is not that moment, I don't know what can be. Right. And some people argue that the Congress in that IEPA did not specify tariff as a tool for the president's use. Well, we need to check into the original intention of the legislation. The Congress realized in that kind of moment, we cannot limit the president. The tool to use, right? If the Congress have in their mind a certain limitations they do not want to the president to use, they will limit it.
Sure.
When they do not limit it, then it's all belong to the war chest that the president can use. Right? So the key of this law shouldn't be what's in the war chest, but the unusual and extraordinary, it's just an extraordinary situation. So the key should be whether a situation is unusual and extraordinary. As soon as that fits that, then the president should be allowed to use whatever the Congress did not prohibit him to use. I hope that we got that result. I really hope that our justice will not make the mistake by harming our Constitution in an unintentional act to defend our Constitution. That's all I have to say. That's all I have to hope.
Well, we will watch. we will watch, and I hope you'll update us since you're looking at this really closely. I'd also like it if there's anything for me to add to this page after the fact, different amicus briefs and that sort of thing. That would be very, very helpful. Well, guess what? We ran out of time. What a shocker. Thank you so much for coming on with us, and I'm sure we will talk to you long before 2026 because, you know, that's ridiculous, this once-a-year thing. This is ludicrous.
Lots going on, and it's moving really fast.
I think
that's part of the problem, too. It's making people nervous. Things are getting done so quick.
It is. So please check in with us. Send this show to friends. We the People Radio.
.us.
Bye, Dr. Chen.
Bye.
Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.